Praise be Jesus Christ, and blessed be the Virgin Mary, our Mother. Amen. St. Gabriel Pacenti, also known as St. Gabriel Pacenti of Our Lady of Sorrows, is an example of total surrender to the service of God. He spent a pious youth among friends and healthy amusements, sometimes thinking of being a religious, but not daring to take the definitive step until the Virgin Mary touched him and spoke to him during a procession of her holy image. In his religious life, he was a model for his companions and for all who knew him. His love for the Virgin Mary was extraordinary, and he took the life of self-giving to God so seriously that he wanted to burn the name of Mary on his chest. He made many sacrifices for the love of Jesus and Mary, and when he had the opportunity to talk to someone, he always tried to advise him to love Jesus and the Virgin Mary. He felt an inner fire that did not leave him alone, and at times he had to ventilate by saying ejaculatory prayers of love. God blessed his life by doing countless miracles after his death. St. Gabriel Pacenti has been one of the most miraculous saints. The biblical words were fulfilled in him: God exalts the humble. Luke chapter 1, verse 52. His father, Santos Pacenti, at the age of 23, was already governor in Urbania. He was in the habit of getting up very early. The entire first hour he used for meditation and prayer. Never at this time did he allow himself to be interrupted by anyone. After the prayer at home, he went to church to hear Mass, taking with him all those of his children who were willing. With this holy custom faithfully carried out, he devoted himself to the tasks proper to his position. He ended his day with the rosary and with reprimands to his children if they needed them. He was a man of integrity. One day, he was presented with an exquisite plate of fish at the table. He asked where it had come from. Nobody knew, and he sent for the cook, who replied that someone had sent it as a gift. Then he said, "Nobody touch this fish, give it to the poor. Don't they know that the donor has a pending cause?" And they gave it all to the poor. His mother, Inés Frusciotti, had 13 children in 18 years of marriage. She died young at the age of 41 on February 9, 1842, within a few months of being in Spoleto. Francisco was 4 years old. His brother Luis was a Dominican. Enrique was a diocesan priest and prior of the Cathedral of Terni. They had a religious aunt and uncle. One was the Capuchin, Father Juan Batista, and also the Augustinian nun, Angelica Frusciotti, both siblings of his mother. Our saint was named Francisco Vicente Pacifico Rufino. At home, they always called him Francisco or Cecchino. He was born in Assisi, where his father was governor, on March 1, 1838, and was baptized the same day he was born. It is known that at the age of 8, he received the sacrament of confirmation on June 1, 1846, from the Bishop of Spoleto, Monsignor Sabioni. He made his first communion with the Jesuits when he was 12 or 13 years old, that is, in 1850 or 1851. One day, he was playing with his brother Enrique, and he chased him around the house. Enrique entered a room and suddenly closed the door when Francisco wanted to enter, and hit him hard on the nose, which was a little crooked from that moment on. On another occasion, he went for a walk in the Franciscan forest and saw a large bird that looked like a blackbird. He took a stone and hit it, but the bird stayed alive, and he proudly showed it to his friends as if he had done a great feat. His sister Maria declared that as a young man, he was in good health, with short black hair and small eyes. His character was cheerful, joking, and lively, pleasant to talk to, and he led a good family life. He obeyed his father with pleasure, and when his father sometimes got upset, then St. Gabriel kissed his hand and hugged him. He had a fiery and impetuous temper. He loved having fun with his friends, but he never spoke dishonest words. When his brother Lorenzo died on February 13, 1854, Gabriel was still living in his house. At first, it was hidden from him because Lorenzo was enrolled in Freemasonry. In the family, there was always a lot of reserve about this fact. A relative gave him a watch with a gold chain. He liked it a lot and he wore it, but he saw how it attracted envious glances, and the next day he gave it to one of his brothers. He again had bought a nice hat, and to decorate it better, someone gave him a magnificent velvet ribbon. He put on his hat, but after a while, the ribbon disappeared, which he gave to one of the housemaids. He liked to dance, and they called him the dancer. He also liked to read love novels, although he only read the ones that were innocuous from a moral point of view. Years later, he would have many regrets for having read these novels. For his devotion to the crucified Jesus and Our Lady of Sorrows, he bought an image of the Virgin Mary with her dead son in her arms. Facing this image, he prayed prayers every night and always had a lamp lit before her as proof of his love. He himself stated, "One day, the hand of God struck me with a serious illness. As the evil raged, the fear of a near death filled me with terror. Trembling, I began to ask the Lord to give me health, promising to spend the rest of my life in a religious congregation dedicated to his service. My plea was heard, and shortly I was in full health." However, he forgot his promise, and again the Lord called his heart. A terrible internal and external inflammation of the throat came to him, and he was on the verge of death. He was already afraid of being drowned any minute because he couldn't breathe. Then he remembered his good intentions and his infidelity in fulfilling them, and he sought as an advocate St. Andrew Bobola, recently beatified at that time. He applied a relic of the saint to his throat and renewed his promise to become a religious if he regained his health. He had a restful sleep for several hours, and upon awakening, he had neither swelling nor pain whatsoever, while his breathing was normal. He was cured. All his life, he kept and venerated an image of St. Andrew Bobola and kissed it. He invoked St. Andrew Bobola as a close friend in recognition of him. He wanted to put his promise to work immediately and requested his entry into the Society of Jesus. Despite being admitted, some inconveniences postponed his admission. When his father became suspicious that he wanted to be a religious, he frequently took him to the theater and to talk with other kinds of people. But he, being in the theater, asked his father's permission to go find a friend and left the theater to go to the neighboring church to say his prayers. He wanted to be a religious, but he couldn't make up his mind, and the Lord kept calling him. One day, his sister Maria Luisa fell ill. It was July 3, 1855, and a few hours later, Maria Luisa died. She was the first victim of the terrible cholera, which Spoleto then mourned. This was a hard blow for Francisco and made him think again about the vanity of the world and about leaving everything for God. On the other hand, Francisco was attracted to a young woman, daughter of the lawyer Penacchietti. She was a distinguished and virtuous young woman. Everything was carried out with modesty and good manners. He visited her. His father saw this as an opportunity for his plans, and to take the thought of the religious vocation away from him, he decided that the two young people should marry when they reached the proper age, because Francisco was only 18 years old and had not finished his studies. Francisco learned about his father's plans and did nothing to prevent them. Since he could not make up his mind to leave the world, God intervened to break any ties. The Virgin Mary herself appeared to him in a procession of the holy image of Spoleto. It was August 22, 1856. He was on his knees among the people, and he saw that the image was animated. The eyes of the Virgin Mary seemed luminous, and a voice spoke to his heart, saying, "Do you still not understand that this life of the world is not made for you? Follow your vocation." It was the decisive push that overcame all obstacles. He was 18 and a half years old. His decision was firm and irrevocable forever. It was the month of September 1856, and the moment when the marriage should be celebrated was approaching, but Francisco no longer thought about it. One day, when they finished dinner, he informed his father of his decision to become a Passionist. His father replied that he would not endure the harshness of Passionist life, but St. Gabriel was already determined to do everything, and his decision was firmly made. He was very devoted to St. Aloysius de Gonzaga, St. Francis of Assisi, St. Francis de Sales, St. Margaret of Cortona, St. Paul of the Cross, and other saints, especially St. Joseph. He consecrated in his honor every Wednesday of each week, and everything he did on that day was to honor St. Joseph. He called him my Josecito. He used to repeat ejaculatory prayers frequently as a way of praying without being too concentrated. He had very delicate feelings, and we can say that he was a poet of creation, since a tree, a fruit, or a flower made him rejoice when he thought of God and his providence. The crucifix was his daily companion. When he studied, he had it on the table before his eyes. When he went to bed, he had it with him on the bed. Praise be Jesus Christ, and blessed be the Virgin Mary, our Mother. Amen.